man, woman, boy, or girl who's a part of the local church ought to go out and try to reach one. And if we reach them and get them into the local church and then disciple them, then the Holy Spirit can mobilize them into the work of God, and we can reach the world which the Lord so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. I want to thank you all for having us once again at Shining Light Baptist Church. We, Jeanette and I, have traveled around this world in different places all over the country and missions conferences all the time for many, many years. And I can honestly say there's no place we enjoy any more than coming to Shining Light Baptist Church. We appreciate your pastor and his wife, and then the wonderful people and the kind words and the hospitality. Appreciate the accommodations. And God takes care of his people. Brother Dawson has always put us in a nice place, which we enjoy. And the older you get, the more you enjoy it. And we always, my wife, we get to point out, we like to stay in a place that has a door, because she watches a lot of news, and we have different times. And so I can go into a room and close the door. We walked into Residence Inn on Wednesday, and they said, you've been upgraded. So I thought Brother Dawson's probably did that, and then I found out that he didn't do that. The Lord did it. So instead of having a one-bedroom suite, we have a two-bedroom suite. So I have an office on one side, and then there's a bedroom on that side, and then the big room in between, and we're just having a wonderful time. So we just put a sign on the door, no maid service. We got enough towels and everything else, and my wife likes to make her own bed, so we're just having a great time. So thank you all so much for the wonderful, wonderful fellowship. And also, let me tell you how much appreciative I am for your support, not only supporting COBA. You've had a part in some 30 churches being planted. They give over $1 million a year, the world evangelization, and we appreciate your support. And then I notice you support all of our guys that have gone out of our church. We have two fellows in Ghana, West Africa, that you support. You support the Johnsons, and we just thank you for your commitment to world evangelization. We don't take it lightly, and thank you for having a part in our ministry. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. I'm going to read a rather lengthy portion, so if you're physically able to stand and can, that's fine. If not, you read along with me as I read, beginning here in Acts chapter 27, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. Acts 27, verse number 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also to our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, stake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out, and with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them which sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast forth 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boats into the sea on the color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off." Our Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege we have to be here the Sunday morning of a missions conference. We thank you for those who've come out during the week, and we thank you for the challenge from the Word of God. We thank you for this most important day when this local church will make a spiritual decision as men, women, and young people as to how you're going to use them to help reach this lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that has taken place thus far in Sunday school and throughout the week and the special music. Now I pray you'll knit our hearts together, and I pray that you'd help us to understand and be committed to the work of this local church for which God has raised up to reach the world. Now take me as your servant. I pray you'll cleanse me first of all of any sin, then empty me of self, then fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Apostle Paul, without a doubt, was a very, very special servant of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible records him and tells of what he had done in his church planting ministry. He was the greatest of all the evangelists, church planting evangelists you'll find any place in the Word of God. When you find this man of God, he seemed, no matter what he faced in life, he always seemed to be the master of every situation. And by the way, when you walk with God, you'll face all kinds of situations in life, but God enables the child of God or the man of God to be the master of any situation he allows to happen in our lives. Paul was a master in every situation he had been in. For instance, in Acts chapter 16, don't turn there, he's in jail with Silas. Now, jail's not a great place to be, but he didn't gripe and complain. You know what he did? He put on a concert of prayer and praise that brought the house down. He knew how to handle his situation. We find him in Acts chapter 24. He's standing before Felix. He dared to reason with him concerning righteousness, temperance, and judgment. As a matter of fact, he said to Felix, you better do right. You better control yourself. If you don't do right and control yourself, you're going to face the judgment of God. Felix replied with this phrase, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix said, I don't have time for this. You just leave. He stands in Acts chapter 25 and chapter 26. He's standing before Festus. And he had the audacity to say to Festus, why should you think it to be an incredible thing that God should raise the dead? Why should that be so shocking to you? In Acts chapter 26, he stands before King Agrippa. Of all the people, he challenged him to believe the prophets. And Agrippa replied, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now we find him in Acts chapter 27. He's a prisoner on a ship headed to Rome. In verses 10 and 11, he gives advice to the master of the ship. He said, I don't think this is a good idea for us to set sail. Something's going to happen to us and happen to the ship. They believed the master of the ship rather than believing the servant of God. We find in verses 11 through 14, as a result of that, they set sail. And now they find themselves in a very bad storm. As a matter of fact, when you let compulsion or the wrong kind of counsel or doing what's convenient or the senses of opinions or the circumstances you face, you'll end up in a storm. In verses 15 through 19, they were tossed about by the storm, and they begin to throw things out of the ship. Maybe if we lighten the ship, things will get a little bit better. And verse number 20, things got so bad that all hope was gone. They began to say to one another, we're going to die. It's over for us. Once again, the man of God, the servant of God, reminds them, he said, you know what, if you all had listened to me, when I gave you advice before, we wouldn't be in this situation. And then he paused for a moment and said, nevertheless, my God says that everything's going to be okay. As a matter of fact, he says, be of good cheer. Don't worry about it. Nothing is going to happen to any of us. Just something's going to happen to the ship. Now, these heathens, these lost people, all of a sudden, the only hope they had came from the words of the man of God. For 14 days, they were in this horrible storm, believing only the words that were uttered to them by the man of God. We get to verse number 27, and it says, about midnight of the 14th day, the sailors, all of a sudden, no longer were listening to what the man of God had said, but all of a sudden they thought they were near land. Then they tested the water. And the Bible says the depth of the water was 20 fathoms or 120 feet deep. A little bit later they tested it again. It was 15 fathoms or 90 feet deep. All of a sudden, they stopped trusting in what Paul had told them, that everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about a thing. Just stay where you are. They cast out four anchors from the ship to try to hold it back to prevent the ship from running aground. And then an unusual thing happened. These men who at one time for 14 days trusted in the word of God, trusted in what the man of God had said, all of a sudden when they got near land, they took their eyes off and their ears and their heart from listening to the man of God and decided to take matters in their own hands. They decided that they were going to take some lifeboats that was holding, hanging on to the ship, cut them loose, and a few of them would just get into the boats and make it to land. They all of a sudden were not thinking about the 200 and some other people on there. They were just thinking about themselves and thought, man, we get in the lifeboat, land's only a little ways out there, we can make it. But they forgot that the man of God was walking with God, who knew everything was going on. And I want you to notice what he said to them in verse number 31. Now keep in mind, these lifeboats, they only had a few of them, these small boats. These few men pretended that they were putting out anchors, but the goal was, let's cut one of those lifeboats, get in the lifeboat, we can make it on shore, we'll get off this boat, get off of this, get out of this storm. That was their goal. And then Paul uttered, which is, I understand, your theme verse for the year. He said this in verse 31. Paul said to the centurions and to the soldiers, and you ought to underline this, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Here's what he was saying. God's plan, God's program, God's protection, God's provision for all of us, that no matter how the winds blow or the storm may be, God has determined to abide, stay in the ship, though the storms may come. Whenever I read that passage, I'm reminded of this organism that's called the church. I'm reminded of not an organization, but an organism. I'm reminded of that which Jesus planted. I'm reminded of that which Jesus taught. I'm reminded of that which Jesus commissioned. The local church belongs to Almighty God. And he's saying to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, I've got a plan. I've got a program. I've got some protection. I've got some provisions. I need some men, women, boys, and girls. When the storms of life come, when it seems impossible, it seems like you don't know how it's going to work out, abide in the ship. Stay in the ship. That's my plan. That's my program. That's my provisions. That's my protection. Abide in the ship. I want to remind us that ships are made to sail. And I was looking at your brochure and thinking about the Shining Light Baptist Church. This ship's been sailing for a while. I don't know, 16, 17 years, it's been sailing. Let me remind you some places it's been. It sailed over to Ghana. Those people are being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, it sailed to be where you're involved in Cuba, and some 30 churches overseas and around America are preaching the gospel today. It sailed to South America. It sailed down to North Carolina. It sailed over to Cambodia. It sailed to New Zealand. It sailed among the American military overseas. It's been sailing to Argentina. Oh, it sailed down to New Orleans and got something going on down there. I mean, it's been sailing to Arizona, and it sailed to Scotland. And all of these different places, this ship has been sailing. And let me tell you sometimes the wind will blow and the storms will come, but the plan of God and the purpose of God is for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, abide in the ship. Stay in the ship, though the storms may come in life. You know, storms come from all walks of life. Sometimes you have family storms. Sometimes you have financial storms. Sometimes you have storms from your foes, from your enemies. That's against God's church. But the plan of God and the purpose of God is you stay in the ship when the storms of life come your way. You know what really hurts good local churches when it comes to reaching the world is that we got too many people, when the storms come and the ship begins to rock, they think, I come up with this great idea that I can make it in a lifeboat. Have you ever thought about if the wind shakes up the ship, what it's going to do if you're in a lifeboat? May God help us to understand the local church is the program of God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the place where Jesus is preeminent. It was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And when the storms of life come, whether they're financial, whether they're family, whether they're from your foes, the purpose of God, the plan of God, protection of God is for the ship hands to abide. Stay in the ship, though the storms of life may come your way. And I want to share with you a few thoughts about how to ship hands, stay on the ship when storms come your way. And by the way, you're not going to sail around this world without facing some storms. And the wind sometimes is very boisterous. And let me tell you something, it comes in all walks of life, but God builds the ship to sail. There is no storm that God's ship can't sail through. As when the captain is on the lookout and the hands are working together to get that ship to the destination that God has led it to go. How do I abide in the ship? I don't have to tell you whether you're going to have some storms. There's nobody that's ever been in a local church that hadn't faced some storms. Oh, they're going to come. They're going to come. They're going to come in all walks of life. But let me tell you something. The ship belongs to Almighty God, and He wants it to sail. He wants it to sail around the world, and He puts people in there to be able to help it go where He has designed it to go. How do I abide in the ship when the storms come our way? Look back in this text, if you would, to verse number 10. It says, and said unto them, this is Paul speaking, he's on this ship, he's a servant of God, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also to our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. How do I, as a member of a local church that God's commissioned to reach the world, and I'm facing the storms of life, I may have a family storm, I may have a financial storm, I may have the foes of my enemies coming after me, but I'm a part of the ship. I'm needed in the ship. I need to row. I need to keep that ship going. I need to help it get where God wants it to be. He's commanded and commissioned it to go around the world, but I'm facing storms in life. How do I stay in the ship? Number one thing, listen to the man of God. Listen to the man of God. Paul was in touch with God. And he says, if you want to know, listen to the man of God. Why is it so important? And by the way, any local church ought to be thankful when you have a God-called, God-changed, God-commissioned, God-constrained, God-compelled man of God. Listen to the man of God. Why do I need to listen to the man of God? One of the things, he'll warn you against danger. you're in a good Bible-believing church where the Word of God is being preached, and that church has a responsibility to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I need to walk into the local church in Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I need a good old-fashioned man of God who walks with God to warn me. There's some things I need to be reminded of. I need to be reminded of Satan and how he wants to destroy me. I need to be reminded that what sin will do to my life. And if that's not enough, I need to be reminded about self that always wants to be on the throne. I need to realize I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I need a good old-fashioned preacher to remind me of that. He'll warn you about danger, the danger of Satan and sin and self. He'll also warn me of my duty. You know, every once in a while, I need to be reminded of what my duty is. My duty as I'm on the ship is to go, to give, to pray, to listen, to love, to forgive. I need to be reminded of all those things. After all, I'm on a ship that's sailing where the winds are going to blow and the storms are going to come and the darkness is going to show up. But I've got a goal to get somewhere in life. And I need somebody to warn me of the danger, warn me of my delay. That's why you need mission conferences. You know what missions conferences will do? It'll stir us up that there are more things important than just what we're focusing on. You know what a good missions church does? It keeps people from being selfish and keeps people from looking around at each other, because it's keep people looking up at him who's the most important person in the local church. Abide in the ship. How do I do that? Listen to the man of God who is the captain of the ship, that God's given instructions to tell the people where the church ship is headed and keep it going in the right direction. You know, I haven't spent a whole lot of time on ships. Probably got some military people, some sailors in here that know a lot more about ships. But I bet you sometimes on a ship, that's going someplace, the captain is out looking when everybody else may be sleeping sometimes. He kind of keeps an eye on certain things that's going on. But let me tell you something. I've been a captain of a church for 30 years, and I'm going to tell you something. There are many times when I've gotten up earlier and stayed up later because I'm watching out for people in my church that don't even watch out for themselves. Sometimes people think that preachers spend their time preparing messages to preach at one sailor on the ship. You know, I always told myself, I work too hard. It used to take me 8 hours to prepare a message. I wasn't about to preach at one person in the church. I could call them in the office and take care of that. Now, the captain was walking on deck kind of in the wee hours of the morning getting some direction to where the ship's going. And we didn't understand that. Listen to the man of God. Thank God every day when you've got a God call, God change, God compel, God constrain man of God who will warn you on a regular basis about the danger in life. Warn me of my duty. Tell me what I ought to do. And then tell me not to delay, because the world's dying and headed to a place called hell. How do I abide in the ship? Listen to the man of God. Number two, look at, if you would, verse number 22. Keep in mind, in verse 20, look there for a moment. And when neither sun nor stars in the many days appeared, and no tempest lay on us, all hope, bless you, that we should be saved was then taken away. I mean, this thing looks pretty bad. I mean, they're saying, we have no hope. We're about to die. We didn't listen to the man of God. What do we do now? It looks terrible for us. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Then he says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, butt of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Then he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. How do I abide in the ship when the storms of life, whether they're financial, I'm fearful, there is no hope? I need to listen to the man of God, but secondly, I need to lean on the message from God. You know what I like about a good old Bible-believing church? Sometimes you've been fighting the devil all week and fighting the job and all kinds of things going on, and you come in and you're tired and you're weak and you're struggling. You walk into a good old-fashioned fundamental Bible-believing church, and it seems like God told the man of God exactly what to preach and gave me a message of comfort. And that helped me. I exhort you, be of good cheer. Hear what Paul says. He said, God promised me something. You're going through a rough thing in life and the storms are coming. Lean on the promise of God. God promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He said, for there stood by me. God promised us His presence. We need to understand, I can stay in the ship because I've got the presence of God and the promise of God. God's promised the local New Testament church, lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Let me tell you something. The world may be against you. Family may be against you. Friends may be against you. But God says, I'm not against you. You're my church. You belong to me. Abide in the church. Stay in the church and walk in there. I know what you need. I know what you're going through. You walk in that place and I'll give you a message of comfort to help you get through another day. He said in verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He not only gave them a message of comfort, but he gave them a message of courage. God tells us, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I can find that in the ship. I can find the message of comfort, and I can find a message of courage. And he said in verse 25, for I believe God. He gives me a message. I can stand on something. I've got not only a message of comfort and a message of courage, but I got a message of conviction. I believe God will do what he says. And what am I going to do? Let the storms come. Let the winds blow. Let the problems be. I'm abiding. I'm staying. I'm in the ship. Why? God's going to take the ship to the destination that I can't even see, but he's promised that I'm to take that message of comfort, that message of courage, that message of conviction, and start saying, you know, it's about time some people in church start saying, I believe God. I believe what he says. I believe he'll do exactly what he says. Abide in the ship. Listen to the man of God. Lean upon the message of God. And then thirdly and lastly, if you're going to stay in the ship, you got to labor according to the method of God. God has a method for sailing. He has a method by which the ship is to operate. We can't decide that we're going to decide how the ship sails. God says it's going to sail according to my method, what I've laid down. In this story, Paul had told them for 14 days they listened. God says, have courage, comfort, conviction. Nothing is going to happen to you. Got down to verse number 30, they stop sailing by faith and started sailing by sight. When they could see the land, all of a sudden, they started looking for lifeboats. God doesn't want us to live by sight. He wants to live by faith. He said, the method, the plan for the ship and for the people on the ship. The ship will break up in pieces, but not one single person. I don't have to figure out how that's going to happen. I just have enough faith to believe that God said it and trust him. And they decided to take matters in their own hands and started to pretend to put down anchors, and really they were cutting loose lifeboats, taking matters in their own hands. And Paul says, that's not God's plan. God's plan is to abide in the ship. Now, here's what he looks for in his local church and in his ship. He says it's a place of security. I want you in the ship. You know, I long and I try as best as I know how to teach people the value of a local church. I can't tell you, the local church changed my life. Jesus saved me. If I had never walked into a good Bible-believing church from the time I got saved, sitting on my couch in the basement of my house that Thursday night, July 22nd, 1976, heaven became my home. Because if I'd never walked into a good Bible-believing church, but because God saw my heart and knew that I wanted to grow and I wanted to give my life to him, he put 2 miles before I ever got saved, a good independent Baptist church, 2 miles from my house where I could get there on time and be there, put that right. I don't think that's by accident. Look, when I got saved, if I had been a charismatic, I'd been a good charismatic. If I'd been a Catholic, I'd been a good Catholic. If I'd been a good Methodist, because I wanted to serve God. When I got heaven, God got me. But he wanted me to understand the value of life and the value. And it made me a better husband, a better father. I've got 2 boys that are called into the ministry, a daughter that runs a child care center now that's given, could be working some other place to give her life to the Lord. And I see my family and 9 grandchildren and all involved in the local church. I got that by staying in the ship. Was it always easy? There were things that I heard. I keep in mind, I'm 30 years old. I heard things in that church that kind of got to me from time to time. But I stayed in the ship. Stayed in the ship. 2 years after that, I got called to preach. Then I got trained, got sent out. And here I am still today, still abiding in the church. You know, I found out that's in there. There's security. It's abide in the ship. I would have gone to heaven because I was in the family of God. But I wouldn't be where I am today until I got in the church of God. Abide in the ship. The ship. God's program is a local New Testament ship. He says, abide in the ship. That's the pillar and ground of the truth. That's the place where Jesus is preeminent. That's the place was purchased with his own blood. That's the program of God. So he wants me to know there's security in the church. In verse 32, notice what after Paul said to them. He said, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. What does he want out of my life? He wants to give me security by being in the ship, but he wants me to surrender completely to my involvement in the ship. He wants me to give it my very, very best. You know what God wants out of the average Christian who's in a good Bible-believing church to maximize what you can do for God and reaching the world? He wants us to stop trying and start trusting. Stop trying it your way and start trusting in my way. And by the way, that's the same thing when it comes to getting saved. If you're going to get saved today, it's not by doing good works. It's not by joining the church. We need to start trusting in what Christ has said and stop trying all of these different ways. So he wants to give me security. But he wants me to give him surrender. He wants me to start trusting in what he said and stop trying to get into a lifeboat when his plan is for me to stay in the ship. So he wants in this ship, we find security, we find salvation, we find we need to surrender. But then he says, as your phrase says here, look at the top word. We just talked about in the ship gives us security. We say that big word, A-B-I-D-E. You know what it means? Abide. It means to settle down. Get stabilize yourself. I mean, boom, boom, like you're in concrete in this place. If this place is that important to the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's that important to me. I'm not just going to pass through the ship. I'm going to abide in the ship. It's a good place for me to be. It's a good place for my family to be. It's a good place to give my time, a good place to give my talent, a good place to give my treasure. After all, one day I'm going to get crowns in heaven, but I guarantee you, you won't earn them unless you earn them by abiding in the ship. The ship. The ship of Almighty God is sailing around the world. And by the way, the ship will always be sailing. Always be sailing. Ships are made to sail. And God says, it's going to sail. But I need some hands on there. It's going to do some rowing. And you got to go from Tucson, Arizona, to Ghana, West Africa. It's going to cost you something to send you influence over there. It's going to cost you something to send you influence around the world. It's going to cost you something to have 46 missionaries help you carry out the great commission I've given the church. And I'm going to put some sailors on that ship. And they're going to face some storms in life that come from all different directions. But I want them to abide in the ship, though the storms may come. And here's what will help them. Listen to the man of God. Learn from the message and lean upon the message of God. And when you are a sailor on God's ship, I want you to labor, but I want you to do it according to the method of God. And that method simply says, I'll give you security in the ship. You give me surrender, and I want you to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because my ship is my program, carrying out my work, and my sailors need to stop trying their way and start trusting totally in my way. Abide in the ship, though the storms may come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Natasha's going to come in just a moment. She's going to play an invitation song. You're a member of Shining Light Baptist Church, the plan of God for your life, the purpose of God, the protection of God, provision of God is for you to abide in the ship. He didn't say you're going to be without storms. The storms will come. They may be financial. They may be friends. They may be foes. They may be family. But you abide in the ship. And God says, you stay in the ship, I'll give you security. I'll give you security. But I want you to give me surrender. I want you to stop trying and start trusting. I want you to be steadfast. I want you to abide in the ship. You're here today, you're not saved, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God wants you to stop trusting in church, stop trusting in your works, stop trusting in anything but trusting in me. Don't try all of these different things. Just cut loose the ropes and put all your trust and faith in me. I guarantee you, I'll save you and give you eternal life if you believe I died, was buried, was raised from the dead, and willing to trust in me. Abide in the ship. Shining Light has already sailed around the world with its giving and commitments to missions, but there's a whole lot of sailing that's still left. And God says, I need the sailors on this ship to abide in the ship. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. God speaks to your heart. Why don't you find your place here at the altar And maybe you just need to commit to the Lord, I'm going to abide in the ship. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you would even let us sail on something as precious as your ship. And Lord, sometimes we face all kinds of storms, family, financial, friends, foes. And sometimes we don't listen and we end up in a terrible storm. But then you don't give up on us. You say, lean on the message. I'll give you a message of comfort. I'll give you a message of courage. I'll give you a message of conviction. Just abide in the ship. That's your security. But I want you to surrender to me. I want you to stop trying your way and start trusting in my way. I want you to be steadfast. I want you to abide. I want you to stick with it. Understand there's a purpose for your life. My ship will always sail, and I want you to help it to go where I want it to go. It takes sacrifice, takes commitment. Now you bless. If there be one here today who's never been saved, I pray God you'll touch that heart. They'll cut loose the ropes of trying and start trusting in what Jesus has already done. You bless now. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's Natasha Place. God speaks to your heart. You need to come. Why don't you take this moment? Are you abiding in the ship? Could the ship go a little bit further if you were more steadfast? More dedicated, more committed? Could it sail a little further if it had your time, your talent, your treasure? Could it? Could it? Abide, abide, abide in the ship. Be steadfast, unmovable. Lord, where do you want the ship to go? Around the world. Around the world. But it's such a small ship, but I've outlined a path to follow. I'll get it there. I just want the sailors to trust me. I want the captain to lay out the plan. Lay it out. Warn the people of the danger. But also warn them of their duty not to delay. When this fear comes, give them a message of comfort. Encourage them. Against the storms they're going to face. This is my ship. My ship. And when the captain, in the wee hours of the morning, standing out looking at the boisterous winds, I'll stand by him and I'll give him something he can give those sailors who are facing their storms in life. Because he is captain of my ship. Our Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege we have to serve you. We're not worthy to be a sailor on your ship. But you take us sinners saved by grace, and you want us to have more life than just be guaranteed heaven. You gave us talents. You've given us time. You've given us treasure. We're to invest that, involve that, to help your ship sail the seas, the waters of this life. We thank you for the opportunity. May we be good sailors, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment.